Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Boy, I don't think I've ever done a podcast as irrelevant as yesterday's podcast ends up being, huh? Minicamp preview, all about how we're beyond this Antonio Brown nonsense. We're into minicamp relatively healthy. We're beyond the drama of this team. We can get to real practices without having to deal with who's there, who's not, what's going on in this guy's head, all of that. We can just get to practices. And then yesterday happened, and Antonio Brown went and talked to the media and had a ton to say. None of it ideal, let's say. Also in the news, Bud Dupree and Morgan Burnett dealing with injuries. And I think specifically with Bud Dupree, this is pretty disappointing. So we're going to talk about all of that on today's podcast. We will start with some news and notes. And I think the biggest newsworthy thing of the day is a report from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, who is reporting that Le'Veon Bell wants $14.5 million a year. This number just keeps changing throughout the offseason. It was 15, then it was 17. Now it's 14 and a half. It's 14 and a half, according to Jeremy Fowler, seems like the lowest. You know, that's the lowest Le'Veon Bell will go. Interesting to hear this. It feels like it was just a week or two ago that we were reporting on NFL Network's, their information they had about Le'Veon Bell, saying that he wanted 17 mils. He wanted to be paid like Antonio Brown, who makes $17 million a season. And of course, as I said at the time, that's just never going to happen, right? I mean, that's just completely unrealistic. I don't even know that he would get that from another team, you know, much less the Pittsburgh Steelers. But $14.5 million is a much more interesting number when it comes to whether or not Le'Veon Bell will get a deal done. We are just about a month away. I think it's July 14th or 15th is the deadline. So we're just about a month away now from whether or not Le'Veon Bell is going to sign this long-term deal. Reports last season, when it was heating up between Le'Veon Bell and the Pittsburgh Steelers as far as contract negotiations, was that the Steelers offered Le'Veon Bell $12.5 million a year, a front-loaded contract that would give him about $15 million over the course of $15 million a year average over the course of the first 3 years of the deal, $12.5 million total over the course of the deal, right? I think it was a five-year deal, something like that. That was what was reported. Now, reportedly, Le'Veon's agent accepted the deal, and Le'Veon did not. Le'Veon said, no, I want to make more. So he turned the deal down, kind of an 11th hour type of thing. So here we are now, you know, a year later than that. And if reports are true that Le'Veon Bell does want 14 and a half, and again, no telling if this report is true because we just heard like 3 weeks ago, a month ago, that it was $17 million. But let's say 14 and a half is the real number now for Le'Veon Bell. Well, if the Steelers were offering 12 and a half a year ago, you got to figure these two sides are relatively close at that point, right? We're talking about $2 million a year average over the life of the deal. If Le'Veon Bell is willing to come down a little more, the Steelers are willing to go up a little more, right? I mean, they could certainly meet in the middle here. This $2 million a year is not a large hill to climb. It is certainly not the same as going from 12 and a half to 17. Now, again, no telling if what ESPN is reporting is the truth, or if what NFL Network is reporting is the truth. Now, it could be that both are true, right? It doesn't have to be that one or the other is true. It could be that what NFL Network reported a month or two ago was true at the time, and Le'Veon Bell, at that point of the negotiation process, was looking for $17 million. Remember, he rapped a year ago about how he wants 15, and then he wanted 17, you know. So, okay, so Le'Veon Bell 2 months ago wanted 17. If today he's come down to 14 and a half, I think that's where, as a Steeler fan, you start to feel like, yeah, maybe this deal is going to get done. I've always said I feel like the only way this deal gets done is if Le'Veon looks around and says, I'm just not going to get a better deal outside of this team while still staying a competitive running back, a player who is going to be playing in playoff games and competing for titles year in and year out. I think Le'Veon Bell could definitely go out on the market and make $14.5 million, no doubt about it. He could probably make more than $14.5 million on the open market, no doubt about that. But could he do that on a team that is going to compete year in and year out like the Pittsburgh Steelers are? That is where I think Le'Veon's going to have to decide what he wants to be for the rest of his career. And on the other side, right, I mean, as we talked about yesterday, this makes it very interesting now as we get to the, and I wouldn't say it's a likelihood that we sign Le'Veon Bell, but it is certainly more likely at this point. What's going to happen with, you know, the number of carries that Le'Veon Bell is going to have? It's fine to give this guy 300-400 touches a year when you're not sure you're going to have him next season, right? When there is a clear stopping point by which Le'Veon Bell is no longer your worry. Well, then, yeah, you know, as Mike Tomlin would say, run the wheels off him. But if we're now getting closer and then we start to feel like, okay, we are going to get a deal done, there's definitely got to be an emphasis on this offense of, you know, of elongating his career, of doing the same kind of things we did to Ben Roethlisberger and keeping this guy upright. You know, not Le'Veon Bell has been a guy who has had injury problems his entire career. So, you know, to give him this many touches when it seems like, hey, we're not going to get him to a long-term deal, so just run him as long as you want and go, right? And he goes somewhere else. You know, we've seen performance degradation from Le'Veon Bell. Last season, by no means, was a bad season. He averaged less than 4 yards a carry. Statistics will lie to you in a lot of ways because I think he still had a very, very good year. He wasn't as explosive as he was the year prior. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. How much of that has to do with the consistent wear and tear that he's taking, play in and play out, game in and game out, year in and year out now as he continues to be such a huge percentage of the offense? I think this year, if you're going to sign Le'Veon Bell, you have to be willing to take him off the field. I think that's, to me, is a big part of this. Signing Le'Veon Bell to $14.5 million and then continuing to ride him for 400 touches a year is only going to end in Le'Veon Bell being a guy who's a shadow of himself in a year or two, or maybe less. That's my worry. So it's encouraging to me that we're getting closer now, that if this 14.5 is true and the 12.5 the Steelers were offering a year ago is true, and you know, if they've upped their offer by any, then these two sides are not too far apart. So a little bit optimistic over the next month. And I'm hoping that we can see some resolution to this in the next month and not have to have this go into training camp and all of that and deal with the holdout. All right. Let's get into the news out of minicamp. We'll start with the injury news. Bud Dupree and Morgan Burnett sitting out day one. Morgan Burnett not participating at all, I think, and Bud Dupree. This comes from Trib Live, so the Pittsburgh Tribune Gazette, whatever the name, Pittsburgh Tribune, whatever the newspaper is. They are reporting that Morgan Burnett did not participate in the first day and that he'll be fine going forward. Jordan Dangerfield in his place. Interesting there. Not Morgan, not Terrell Edmonds. Jordan Dangerfield. This is something I talked about. We talk about Maticavage versus Bostic, right? Why doesn't Dangerfield get the start over? If we're making this precedent that because you've been on the roster longer, you get to start at first, and then we'll find out who you are over time. That didn't really apply for Morgan Burnett, right? But Jordan Dangerfield gets the starting role right now on the defense over Morgan Burnett. We'll see what happens. You know, Morgan Burnett's been a guy over the past couple seasons that has definitely dealt with injuries. So, not good that we're starting this process with an injury. But they say it's minor. He'll be back tomorrow or he'll be back today. So we'll see. Bud Dupree, on the other hand, only took part in 7-on-7 drill. Did not take part in the rest of minicamp practice today or yesterday. And he has a shoulder injury. He aggravated a shoulder injury during OTAs. So, yeah. I mean, that's what we talk about with Bud Dupree. I mean, Bud Dupree wants to be an MVP. Bud Dupree wants to be a double-digit sack guy. Bud Dupree wants to be one of the best linebackers in the league. And I think we all can agree, right? He could be. He has the physical tool set to be one of the best edge rushers in the NFL. No doubt about that. But every year, it's the same story with Bud Dupree. It's big hype in April and May, and by the time we get to June and July, the stories about Bud Dupree are not about how he's emerging as this superstar talent. It's about how Bud Dupree can't stay on the practice field. Now, that's just the reality of the situation, right? So, you know, here we are again in June talking about Bud Dupree being one of these guys who's a standout at minicamp. We're talking again about Bud Dupree can't get on the practice field. It's been a disappointing career for Bud Dupree because, and not because he's not lived up to the hype on the field. It's because you know, he's not living up to the hype because of injury. And that, to me, is the worst part of it. You know, it reminds me, I mean, the Senquez Golson thing, right? It's, Senquez Golson never even, you know, never even practiced for this football team, was injured so much. Bud Dupree has at least played in football games, but just stunted growth year in and year out. You know, if you can't stay healthy, you can't, you know, you just can't, unfortunately, you can't make it in the NFL just continuing to go year in and year out injuries without ever developing into a talent. So, look, I wish Bud Dupree the best over the rest of offseason. Hopefully, this is a minor shoulder injury. This is a minor setback for him. He can participate in one of these mini camp practices. But the real test for him is going to be staying healthy through training camp, through preseason, through the first couple weeks of the season as he gets his body ready and back in football shape. That's going to be the key. So I don't want to make too much out of Bud Dupree missing a mini camp practice, but I will say this is a story we have heard too many times now for Bud Dupree. It is becoming all too often of watching Bud Dupree miss practice and miss games. So hopefully this is just a blip on his 2018 and not the story of it. And then finally, let's talk about this Antonio Brown situation. It was funny because I was so ready to be beyond this, and I did the podcast on Monday about the Instagram post. I'm like, ah, God, was that even a good podcast? Like, should I even talk about this? Who cares, right? Yeah, he called out Tomlin and Arians, but really it was probably just motivation. He missed a couple OTA practices. Who cares, right? Well, Antonio Brown, instead of him just brushing it off and saying, hey, who cares, he went on a bit of a... Well, he had a lot to say to the media. Let's just put it that way. I'm going to play for you guys his entire session with the media, because it really starts and ends with the same topics here, which is Antonio Brown venting his frustrations, not at what's happened over the past week, but at the idea of being a professional athlete and what professional athletes have to put up to, and where his mental state is right now. It's a very interesting and intriguing interview, and it makes you wonder about the future of Antonio Brown. So I'm going to play the entire 7 minutes. Here it is.
Do things change with minicamp?
Nothing changed. You know, everything the same. We're here to see what the 2018 Steelers look like pre-minicamp.
Was there any reason that you didn't come to the OTAs that you missed?
Well, I needed a little personal time, you know, with myself to just get my mind right. You know, the game required a lot of mental happiness, you know. And when the older you get, the more you start thinking about the things that are important. You know, I got 5 kids, a lot of family. What left to me to do playing the game is to win a championship. So, you know, I had to take a little time to spend time with my family and, you know, see what's important for me.
In some ways, do you feel that you can prepare better, at least by yourself, rather than OTAs?
You know, I'm not trying to make no assumptions on the rules of the guys who make us do OTAs. You know, I've been doing them since I've been here, but this past time, you know, this is a good time to get away and take some time for myself and get my mind right.
Convince you that you needed to do that, because you normally love practice, right? You hear it all the time.
Yeah. Well, it's a tough time, you know, the times we live in. You know, you start to think from the perspective of my kids, you know, the time I miss out from their lives. You know, obviously, you know, me being away, they're down in Florida. So, you know, I started to think what's important. You know, if I'm playing football to make a lot of money, or I'm playing football to take care of my family. You know, so them are some of the decisions and things I think about. When I'm coming here every day.
Did Ben not being here have any impact on that decision?
I play with any quarterback. No matter who's here, I play with the Steelers. It's not one guy that I'm, you know, it's not one guy. But, again, you guys write the stories. You know, I got to wake up to the Google alerts. You guys, you know, I'm constantly under the pressure. I can't go nowhere and work out by myself. Fans come meet me at the field. You know, I can't do nothing normal. You know, you guys write about me every day. My mom, my kids see it. So we have to deal with these type of things, you know. And I started to think to myself, am I really free? You know, I can't really express myself in this game. I can't really tell you guys how I feel. You guys make the pressure to put pressure on me all the time. Am I really free? You know, and I go to asking myself that, being in regards to taking away time from my kids and everything that's going on. So I had to get away to, you know, free my mind.
What did you learn from that process?
Well, I'm still under pressure. You know, you guys in my face asking me about not showing up the volunteer practice, you know, that's the world we live in, though.
It's kind of funny, though, wasn't it? You were talking about Le'Veon. Yeah. Saying he
you guys paint me a picture to talk about Le'Veon. I'm not involved with Le'Veon business or his contract. you guys write about it and say, oh, AB says it show up. I just say the first rule again, better is show up. I didn't say he got to show up. He got his own business. But that's why I go back to referring. You guys put the pressure on me all the time. In regards to life, in regards to everything, and we just supposed to take it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that ain't freedom.
Do you have any problem with Bruce Arians or Mike Tomlin based off your
I don't have a problem with anyone. I just feel like as a player, you play this game so much, you never get a chance to really express yourself. You know, everyone's telling us to, you know, bottle everything up and don't say nothing. And, you know, when I reflect on my career, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, that put a lot of pressure on me. And, you know, when I take time to reflect, you know, I reflect like, you know, guys who made it hard on me for no reason. But I don't hate those guys. I love those guys, you know, but it's good as a player to, you know, get those things out of your mind in regards of people that put pressure on you.
Is it a motivational thing?
It's just reality. You know, a lot of things that you guys don't know about, that you guys write about and make assumption about. And, you know, the clear the air about the reality things that I deal with, you know, it's pretty good.
AB, how are you more protected not being here from fans showing up and things like that? I mean, you seem pretty
insane. I'm not protected. You know, you guys put pressure on me every day. You guys write about me every day. You guys, you know, there's always pressure. You know, I can't seem to get away from the pressure.
Don't you put pressure on yourself though, AB? I mean, you talk about that a lot.
Yeah, but not the pressure you guys put on me. You know, I'm not writing about where I'm at, what I'm doing, making up stories, asking my teammates stuff they got to answer for. You know, I'm here and I don't want to throw it back us. You know, we got a rookie quarterback here. Where's the respect? But, you know, no one cares about, you know, what they write about and what they say about people. You know, I'm just left to deal with it.
Can you explain though why the Arians thing bubbled up now after he's been gone for so long? And do you still resent the whole two dogs, one bone thing with Mike?
No, I don't resent anything. You know, it's just a form of football that, you know, I think people don't get a chance to understand. You know, I think people go write stories about me and they wonder why he didn't play his rookie year, why he didn't play this year, or what may be the case, what may have you, you know. But as a player, I think you got to start expressing those things that year by year that you go through to get them out your head. You know, I think the more you bottle stuff up and you're not aware of expressing yourself, that's when these players have problems. You know, but we ain't talking about the players who don't play anymore, the guys who can't remember anything because, you know, their whole career they was taught, you know, to hold stuff in. You know, I think we can't really express ourselves at this level. You guys make the headlines. You guys ask me about Le'Veon. Oh, what do you do for a contract? What do you think you should do? I just say, yeah, sure, it'll work out. Now you guys write the article to say AB says he want Le'Veon to show up. So it's constantly pressure, you know, it's constantly under the scrutiny of pressure of you guys putting me under pressure. And it's like, you know, am I really free? You know, what am I playing this game for? To acquire records for who? You know, when I'm done playing, no one gonna remember who what my stats was in 2016 or what my stats was in 2015. So, you know, those are the things I gotta clear my mind for getting away from the game because, you know, a lot of issues this game present that you guys ain't really covering and no one saying anything about. You know, I'm just left to deal with the madness from my house or what you guys make up and create. And it's like no one even cares.
Maybe do you is this something that you about? Just want to get out? Are you just venting? Do you feel any bitterness?
No, I'm just taking the facts. You know, I don't bitter no one. I'm blessed. I'm healthy. You know, I'm living out my dreams. But I'm just stating the reality. You know, you guys make up pressure and put pressure on guys like myself. And it's like, it's not fair. You know, you asking my teammates when I'm out trying to get my mind right so I could come here and do my job well. You guys asking my teammates why I'm not here and you guys making up stories to ask these guys stuff that they shouldn't even be dealing with. But, you know, that's the pressure of being a professional athlete. You know, every day scrutiny, every day pressure. And, you know, it's hard to be free.
So, AB, what issues would you prefer people talk about? Are there issues on your mind?
Talk about. I don't know. You know, I can't really, you know, help 30 people to what to write about. But I'm just, you know, I'm stating the reality of what's going on.
About something that's a story in itself, right there. Is there something in the NFL that you think is a bigger story that's being left unsaid?
I don't know. I just think, you know, players like myself is under scrutiny and the pressure all the time of you guys making up stories of you guys creating pressure regarding the whole cause of me being here to play football. You know, I took a moment to get my mind right from organized team activities. You know what I mean? It wasn't even, like, serious. You know, it's not even, you know, mandatory. It's volunteer. And you guys go ahead creating a story about I don't want to throw with rookie quarterbacks, you know. I say this about Le'Veon, you know. It's all about just you guys making putting pressure and making people be a marked man when it's like, you know, it's not even like that.
Great. Thank you, Amy.
So while I probably disagree with a lot of what Antonio Brown is saying there, right, this undue pressure that's put on him because media creates headlines and all that. I mean, it's a long tale that we've heard of, you know, players not feeling like they have a true voice because they get filtered through the media who's going to take little sound bites and that kind of thing. I feel for Antonio Brown in that way, in that, you know, he feels like he doesn't have a voice. You know, he keeps saying, am I free? Am I free? I mean, I think what he's trying to say is I don't have a voice, right? I say a thing and then it gets taken a certain way and that becomes the narrative. That becomes the thing that I said instead of what I actually said. I get that. I get that. And it is a little bit unfair. That's actually a lot unfair that the modern athlete is expected to not just be a, you know, very good at their sport, but they are also expected to be very media savvy in the modern age, right? And, you know, you are expected to understand that there are programs like First Take and Undisputed and Pardon the Interruption and Around the Horn and all of these shows that are designed around, you know, taking little bits like this and turning them into news stories that we can talk about on a daily basis for hours and hours on end. And so when Antonio Brown says, I only want to practice with Ben, or I only practice with Ben, and he, you know, he sees himself as showing respect for Ben Roethlisberger by saying that, well, of course, everyone's going to go, wait, hold on. He only wants to practice with Ben. And we heard the Good Morning Football clip a while back of them talking about, you know, this is a disrespect. What happens if Ben Roethlisberger gets hurt? Does AB not want to play with Mason Rudolph or Landry Jones? And it's ridiculous, right? It's a ridiculous thing, but that's what happens in modern sports, right? That's what happens now, is that because there is just this machine happening of daily coverage, like you're hearing right now on Locked On Steelers, right? That all those little things are going to get talked about and talked about and talked about and talked about. So I get what AB is talking about here. It's sad for me to hear how frustrated he is by it. So frustrated that he felt like he had to walk away from OTAs, spend some time with his family, kind of reevaluate. Clearly, a lot of what's happened has not just taken a toll on him, but it sounds like it's taken a toll on his family as well. And, you know, that sucks, right? That's unfortunate. Now, you know, he talks about some of the things that have happened and how, you know, all of this is manufactured and all of that. I don't know how much of this, to be honest, I don't know how much of this is manufactured. And that's the thing that just continues to baffle me about this football team, is their ability to create drama from within, right? Somehow, some way, this team just finds a way to create drama. The Steelers are beating the Baltimore Ravens last season, and Antonio Brown throws a Gatorade bottle. The Steelers are, what, 4-1 last year when we finally heard about the fact that Martavis Bryant wants to be traded? You know, and now here we are, you know, we're into mini camps where everyone's excited to see everyone together, right? We're beyond all of the drama. The Ben and Mason Rudolph thing is out the window. We're putting to bed all of this AB stuff. And yet here we go again with continuing on with this. I don't think anything Antonio Brown said other than the quarterback thing was like largely misconstrued or reported on in untruthful ways. He said about Le'Veon Bell's contract, when asked about Le'Veon Bell's contract, he starts by saying, yeah, it's not my deal. I don't want to, that's not, my situation was different, yada, yada. He ends it, though, by saying, but the first part of getting better is showing up. And I praised him at the time for being a leader and stepping up. And, you don't see that from Antonio Brown very often, right? To go public with something like that. And, you know, something we've seen Ben Roethlisberger do with Martavis Bryant sometimes. Sometimes you have to, I don't want to say call a guy out, but you have to be stern about that stuff. And I thought, and that was a moment where Antonio Brown, to me, showed some leadership and saying, you know what, Le'Veon, we're trying to win a Super Bowl here. The first part of getting better is showing up. But what happens next is that AB leaves OTAs. So, you know, I don't want to say he did it to himself, but like, you know, you say, Le'Veon, the first part of getting better is showing up, and then you leave, and everyone goes, that's interesting, right? I mean, it is interesting. Now, you know, he missed some OTA practices. Ben missed some OTA practices. Does it really matter in the grand scheme of things? No. And I think attendance at OTAs is, you know, one of the dumbest storylines. But it's June. There's not a whole lot to talk about when it comes to football. So, yeah, that stuff is going to get played up. And that's what I mean by, you know, they expect you to be media savvy. They expect every little thing you do, you know, you have to see it through the prism of how it's going to be looked at from the outside world, right? And so you can't just, you know, he talks about, I can't live a normal life. You can't. I mean, he's right. He can't live a normal life because everything he does is getting picked apart into the minutiae of it. Even this, right? I mean, because I was wondering, as I'm listening to him for that 7.5 minutes, I'm sitting there wondering, is Antonio Brown going to retire? Like, are we looking at the last year or two or three of Antonio Brown? Those are thoughts that are legitimately going through my head, and I don't want to get on here. And, you know, of course, sorry, AB, but I'm going to pick your little thing. Even though you say all media does is pick your words apart, like, that's the one thing that went through my head as I listened to him, was I thought, oh my God, is AB really considering, like, you know, he talks about his family and, you know, wanting to reevaluate and what do I play this game for and who am I playing this game for? And like, woo, it gets real there. It gets real there for a minute. And then, you know, and then he talks about the Bruce Arians. You know, I'm not calling anybody out or I don't have any hate for any of those guys, but, you know, he uses that again as like, I'm not free type thing. And I can't express myself. Like, if you don't want that stuff, you know, he put out there the stuff about Bruce Arians. He put out there the stuff about Mike Tomlin. And yes, it was clearly motivation for himself, because now you understand the headspace that AB is at, where he's trying to, you know, where that comes from. Because he definitely is in a place where he's feeling attacked. He's feeling attacked. And so mentally, he's going back to a place in his career where he felt attacked, right? Where Bruce Arians wanted him cut or wanted him on the practice squad. And, you know, he's fighting for a contract with Mike Wallace, fighting for a roster spot with Emmanuel Sanders. That's where his headspace is. So, yeah, I mean, it's motivation, and I get that. But, man, this team just finds a way to manufacture drama. My goodness. You never know. You just never know with this football team. You never know what's going to happen next. So, I do. I feel for Antonio Brown. I get it. I get what he's saying. It's, you know, it's different. It's just different in the modern era, right? I mean, you look at the NBA Finals with LeBron James coming in with a cast after Game 4 after they lose. Right now, was that manufactured in some way by Le'Veon or by LeBron? Of course it was. Of course it was. Right, you know, LeBron James, one of the more media savvy athletes, maybe the most media savvy athlete right now. He hides the injury the entire time until he gets swept, and then he conveniently comes out to his press conference with a full cast on. He had nothing on the hand the entire series until they get swept, and then boom. Can't wait till after the press conference to put the cast on. It's got to be before. And he does this cute move where he rubs his chin and everyone's taking a picture and he goes, oh, you really like the cast, don't you? I mean, he played it up, man. You know, and that is what is expected of the best athletes. So, I respect what Antonio Brown is saying. I get it. It is worrisome to me as a Steeler fan who wants to see Antonio Brown play for the next 5-7 more years, right? You know, because a lot of what he said today, not to pick apart what he said, but it does start to make you wonder about how much longer Antonio Brown wants to do this. And he starts talking about things like, who, you know, what am I playing this game for? Who am I playing this game for? Am I just playing it for money? Am I playing for accolades? He goes on a whole thing about who's going to remember me and who's going to remember my stats and all of that. That part to me is like, you play in Pittsburgh, man. Like, we are going to remember you. You play in front of a great, great fan base who will never forget the performances that you've put up. That is, you know, there is no doubt about that. So, yeah, that is minicamp day one. That is minicamp day one for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Tomorrow, I promise you, we are going to talk about things happening on the football field. Mike Tomlin did a press conference today. So I'm probably going to play that. I'll probably play two Mike Tomlin press conferences tomorrow. He said some interesting things yesterday. He'll probably say some interesting things today. And so I'll play both. We're definitely talking football tomorrow. I'm tired of talking about all of these off-the-field nonsense things. But, yeah, I mean, how could you not talk about this today? Because Antonio Brown is definitely not a happy camper. All right, that's going to do it for Locked On Steelers today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, steelercountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @steelercountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.